Welcome back. We're so glad again you joined us here at All Villages. We've been going through a series of the New Testament letters, primarily part two, as I like to say. And in that time of going through it, we've been covering lots of ground. We continue to refer back to part one, the Old Testament, a lot, but we've been digging into lately these last parts of the New Testament, known as 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. So we're kind of right in the middle of that. And then but just to kind of give you kind of a heads up on what that is, so we have this this John, this elder, who is written to these churches, and he's trying to support them and encourage them in a time that we believe that there's some great things going on. There's some challenges in them as they grow and they stretch and they're learning and what it means to be the church. So good stuff, but we're really glad again you joined us. But before we go any further, let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that even through this thing called the internet, we can spend some time with you and we can learn from you. We can read of your word and see that it actually relates to our lives today. That it's not just something that happened, but something that's happening. And that in this time, we can find ourselves in there. And Lord, help us to know that you see us in love. You see us as your children. And because of that, Lord, we can always come to you. And so no matter where our hearts are, no matter what we've been going through, what we've been facing, what we've been running from, you are there. And we pray, Lord, for you to do the work that we so desperately need. Bless this time, bless these words, and again, help us to have ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to believe. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. You know, sometimes, I don't know, when I talk with people about the church and I talk about messages and things, it can get interesting to hear some people's maybe ideas of or past experiences and kind of like, oh, what's this guy going to talk about? Is this, you know, whatever? And I get that. I do. I think we all do that just kind of naturally. If someone starts talking, what are they talking about? Is this something for me or not? I get that. This is a letter, again, written from someone that loves this church. He's got some concerns, and he's got some things that he's thrilled about, right? And so he's trying to pass on not just some information, but he's trying to really say, listen, there's some critical things. If you do this direction-wise, you're going to be in a good place, right? Now, sometimes we think of this as more like advice, okay? like what does God, you know, think I should, might do in this consideration? But really, you know, I'm the one who's going to make this decision. And you're, don't get me wrong, you play a big part in it for sure, and I play a part in it. But God is wanting to do something in us again and through us. And there's some things sometimes that we don't really see well. Maybe it's our spectacles. Maybe we don't see things. Maybe there's something kind of in our vision, our blind spot maybe, and so on. Maybe a past experience that's kind of holding us back. He's trying to help them lean in and challenge this church family, this community, that to know that, one, God loves them, but they need to continue to do this, the things that God wants them to do, to walk in this truth, to walk in love. And he wants them to not just kind of know about it in their head, right, in this cerebral thing, not just something they think about or believe about, but actually it's impacting how they live, that others will be blessed because of it. That no matter who we come in contact with God's help, our attitude, our posture needs to be of love. Sometimes, again, people have had some bad experiences with church people, Christians, evangelicals. We're ECO is the name of our denomination, the Covenant Order of Evangelical Presbyterians. I know it's really fun to say that, right? It's real catchy. But those words were chosen on purpose, and it's not because we are disliking others or something like that. No, it's just we feel called together to band together. We feel God's doing a movement through us and in us and stuff. But I digress. But let's jump into 2 John and see what it has for us. But 2 John, just kind of important to kind of map your head around, I should say, wrap your head around. It's about, again, how are we as a church walking in truth and love for this community. And for them to discern that there's going to be people that might be leading them down the wrong way, that it's not how attractive something sounds, but is it in alignment with the teachings of Jesus, And it's real basic when it comes to that, okay? And so he's trying to make sure that, listen, it sounds like there's some people. I think it sounds like maybe there was some people in his church, and it sounds like these might be two sister churches, like in the same city. But he's like, listen, there's some people that were kind of around here. They were kind of trying to lead some people astray. They're no longer welcome, and they might be coming over to visit you. So he's kind of giving some warnings there. And then finally, he said, those that have been deceived, maybe spiritually, maybe they have been believing in things that aren't really of the Lord, maybe about others, maybe about themselves. That's probably more common that I have found in serving in ministry. Almost 30 years now. It's kind of crazy. I'm thinking about that. When I turn 47, I'm going to be like, yeah, 30 years, 17. Holy cow. Anyhow, but so here I am in 30 years. I'm going, man, the number one thing I found is people that don't know who God is. They don't have a list or kind of like a good understanding, healthy picture of who God is, or they don't know who they are in God. And I think it takes time. I think it's a process for sure. Don't get me wrong, but it's important you know who you are in Christ and that what God has done for us and who He is and how He's good. And that's probably the biggest question. Do we really believe God is good? And sometimes we can look at news and be like, ugh, I don't know if he's good anymore or if he's good all over the place. Sometimes we look at our own lives and we just don't know if God is good. And 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, all of them are like, God is good. He is love and He is working through His people. But we got to keep leaning in and being His people. So lots of good things in here, but we got to learn about it. Again, 1 John was kind of just a kind of real snapshot. 1 John was all about obedience, truth, and love. That he wrote it to assure his readers of God's love for them and to urge them to continue to walk in that love towards God and one another. He just wanted to really help this church to really come together again and really, again, be a blessing for the community, that other people would enjoy it. Today, I want to talk to you about how we need to check our pulse. Check your pulse, right? Maybe you can find it, maybe you can't. Sometimes it's easier on some people versus others. I read in some of my study, I read about a time in the 19th century when doctors sometimes didn't realize, they made mistakes, that people really weren't dead. And in fact, some of them kind of like went into a coma. And the breath and the pulse can sometimes be so faint that they wrongly suppose that, you know, they were gone. You know, they didn't make it. And so sometimes in some of this discovery over time when things were maybe moved and stuff like that, they found coffins. It sounds horrible. They found coffins where the dead inhabitants that they thought were dead were actually trying to claw their way out, scratching the lid with their fingernails until inevitably dying of suffocation. I mean, it sounds horrible, right? And you're like, why did I tune in here today? But think about that. Check your pulse. Sometimes, I mean, what are those signs of life for us? The moral and spiritual equivalence of breath and pulse. That's what I mean by the signs of life. Except, again, for when it comes to whether we're living this out, you know, like what's happening. Being a Christian is not just something, again, we believe about. We believe all the right things. It's God working in us, changing us, having a relationship with God, that through Jesus we have that relationship. And now it's how we live and love, how we walk in this life, in this truth, that our life should show signs of growth, right? Like we can see that in nature. We can see how this is growing and they're just, you know, kind of progressing. We see this in children, right? We have a little baby, we take them to the doctors, they do the whole growth check and they check all the different things, they do all the measurements. We can tell if something's flourishing and healthy or not, right? If it's on the right track or not. And that's the thing. What are those vital signs in our life? And how can we see this in the life of the church? How do we see this in the members and the partners of the church? What is it? What are those signs in your life? What is just so evident, so clear, that God is wanting you to know that you're growing and flourishing in Him, right? That it's not dead, right? That in Christ we're alive in Him and that He wants us to flourish in Him. So we're going to be looking at this section in 2 John. It's not long, but I hope it truly encourages you. So let's just jump into it, okay? All right. This letter, I love when they do that, is from John, the elder. Like it's the title kind of is towards the end of his life and kind of what he's known as and stuff. But he goes on. He says, I am writing to the chosen lady. It's kind of like a name for the church, okay, this other church. And we find out later in the letter, it's like it's a sister church of his kind of thing that he's writing to and stuff. So he says, I'm writing to the chosen lady and to her children, to, again, other brothers and sisters in Christ, this church, this community of faith, whom I love in the truth. And again, he's using the word truth. He's going to repeat it several times in three verses. So he's really wanting to unpack this to them, as does everyone else who knows the truth, right? He's like, they love him, I love him, because the truth lives in us and will be with us forever. He's just laying it out there again that this is not something that we just believe about or for a season kind of thing, that this is forever, that this has now changed everything. The history endpoint and starting point has changed. That our beginning and end is now different. It's written in a whole different way. It's a whole new adventure. He goes on, he says, grace, mercy, and peace, which come from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, will continue to be with us who live in truth and love. So this Jesus, this Father is going to be with us who live in truth and in love. And the best way I can explain that it through this image here and is that as we abide in the Lord, as we spend time with him, as we make ourselves available, as we are still, and we know who he is, and we start to just share our heart, our struggles, our questions, our doubts with others that have done that before us, and know that he says, let's talk. I'm with you. And he's with us every step of the way. But for us to be able to truly walk in truth and love, we have to know the Lord. We have to abide with him. It's not something that happens again just in a moment, but moment by moment by moment by moment by moment. And we need to carve time out every single day to give that space so we can meet with God. I would encourage you to read a little bit of scripture and then pray and then just be still. It's going to be hard, especially for those that like doing things or just kind of feel like I have to always be doing something. But set a timer on the watch. Just go small in the beginning. Work your way up. And then come back, read some a little bit more and pray. And then just trust the process. Just make yourself available. And you're going to find how God wants to do stuff in you and through you. And you're just going to sense, you're going to have a peace. It's just the way God works. Back to the text. How happy I was to meet some of your children and find them living according to the truth. That apparently he met some other of these children, these other brothers in Christ, these sisters in Christ, this community of faith from this other church. And he's like, man, they're living it out. And I'm thrilled about that. It's bringing me happiness to see them growing, to see them flourishing in the Lord, just as the Father commanded. In other words, God wants the church to flourish. He wants it to grow. He is delighted. He even said in verse 4, he says later, again, like, or, you know, I'm happy, because he has found some of these children walking in the truth. I mean, it's a major theme in the first part of the short letter, but for sure, he's making clear truth. He mentions it 4 times in 3 verses. He wants us to understand this is again, this time with God, this way of God, this walking in truth, this way of truth is something that's in us, all around us, through us, that it's not, again, just something in our heads, but it's something we actually live out. He says, I'm writing to remind you, dear friends. I love it when they tell us why they're writing, because sometimes you're thinking, you're hoping, you know. I'm writing to remind you, dear friends, that we should love one another. I mean, the concept of love one another, if you know the golden rule, right? That's where this comes from, that we need to love one another. And love is made complete by when we're, again, spending time with the Lord, to know him and be known by him, to turn, and then in turn, have the strength and the love for others. There's going to be times when you're just not going to want to do it. And that's where we have to remember, love is a verb. It's not always just a feeling. Love is a verb, that it's an action. It's something we choose to do. It's not because they deserve it. It's because we're called to do it. Sometimes it's hard. It just is. If you weren't with us in 1 John, but you may remember it in 1 John, he kind of makes reference to this before about how we need to love one another. He calls it a new commandment I give you. And then later he's like, well, it's really not a new commandment. And later here in 2 John, he says it again. This is not a new commandment, you know? He's like, but no, but one we have heard from the beginning. It's an old commandment, actually. No, no, no. He's like, no, love is something that's so much, that it needs to be a part of who we are. This old commandment is really something that needs to be of who we are in everything we do. And again, it's a great litmus test for what God is doing in our hearts or how full we are. Are we overflowing with his love? And again, it takes time. And so don't beat yourself up. Maybe when I showed you that images of the plant, you know, they'll sprout now all the way kind of thing. Maybe you're just kind of coming out of the ground. Don't feel bad about that. That's where you're at. That's better than where you were before, right? We got to keep on keeping on in that. Love means, again, doing what God has commanded us. And he has commanded us to love one another. Love means doing what God has commanded. So question again I throw out there is doing love, right? Sometimes we don't, doing love, like, wait, no, love is something that we always, again, you know, we think we feel it all the time, and you don't always, right? It's about our actions of love. How do they best support how God has called us to be and do? Are others, again, better off because of what God has been doing in us? It's not always easy, but, you know, sometimes God calls us to do the hard things. It's not because someone deserves it that we forgive them. God says, forgive them because I've forgiven you of so much. So you need to forgive others. And so crucial for us is to remember how much God loves us, how much he has forgiven us. So now let's turn to those that need forgiveness. Not because they even asked for it, not because they deserve it, but because that's what our Lord has said to do. And again, we're trying to learn to walk in his way. And again, it's something that we might need God's help with. I mean, there's some things I don't think that humanly possible we can forgive others of. But with God, it is possible. And it's amazing how when you start to turn it over and say, Lord, I need your help with this. He says, let's talk. And he gives you the strength. And he gives you the power. And he just kind of wraps up, but, you know, keep doing this just as I told you, from as you heard from the beginning. You know, in other words, you know, keep loving others. Keep living in that truth. Keep living in that love. Keep walking in the way that I have told you about and so on. And don't quit on it. You know, it's something that it's tough. I want to talk to you. This kind of all reminded me of this story when I was a dad here trying to teach my youngest how to ride a bike. And I found out later, that earlier, I should say, that I remember it differently than my other two daughters, okay? My one oldest daughter, she's like, no, I let her go and she crashed, but no, she didn't like really hurt herself that bad, you know, and that's part of learning. My youngest daughter says, no, Dad, it wasn't, and I thought it was my oldest that was doing this. I remember my oldest helping my youngest, and then we were all, you know, taking turns, but she was running behind her, and she's like, you got it, and she let her go, right? I think it was just a part where she just started, you know, riding faster than what my oldest could run with, and so she let her go, and she's doing okay, but then she looks back to see where she's at. I know that's never happened to any of us, right? And she doesn't find her anywhere. She's looking like, oh, and she keeps looking back, and she just starts to turn right into a mailbox. Boom, right? And I'm going, oh, that did not just happen, right? Like, you could have picked like any other place. We got grass just going for distance until that one mailbox, right? Anyhow, but now, my youngest, she remembers that I did it. And I'm going, no, did I block it out of my head? Either way, the reality is she still went into a mailbox, right? The reason I thought of this was because it's when John is talking about learning that we need to walk in love, he's not just talking about learning how to walk. He's not just saying that this is something you should do one day and good luck and just kind of all theory. No, he's like, this needs to be part of your life. It's different to learn about how to ride a bike and not ride a bike, right? If it was just something on a manual that we read through or we watch someone else, but we never actually got on the bike to ride, that's way different. Are you needing to learn to ride on the bike? Again, he's not talking about how to, just in the theory kind of concept, but getting them to actually ride the bike. And if that is you, that if you remember that time of being let go, and maybe you learned right away. Man, hats off to you on that one. Seriously, that's fantastic. Most of us crash a little bit. Most of us have a you know, it's not fun. It's scary, but it is exhilarating for sure. Maybe it's something else, but you know, you've learned to do. But John is wanting us to learn to walk in the way of loving one another by actually loving one another. That as we love, we start to learn about, again, us. As when I first got married, I didn't know I was so selfish. I mean, I really didn't think I was that selfish. And then I found out, I guess I'm very selfish. Like, I want my stuff my way, right? And then when I had kids, I was like, I am really selfish. And it's just, it's like one of those things, you just don't see it until you see it, right? You don't experience it until you kind of have that aha moment. And I think John is wanting, listen, don't try to fight it. Be the person God called you to be. Understand that walking in the way of loving one another, walking in the way of this Jesus, walking in truth and in life and in light, that doesn't just happen by accident. The people that truly do that consistently, regularly, with everyone they come in contact with, they've had a transformation. They have met and are in relationship with the Lord. And you can have that too. It starts with just opening your heart up. It also starts when realizing that this Bible, these instructions are not for just information. No, they're for direction. They're not just to be considered, to information to consider, but they're actually for how to live my life, how to love and live, how to be the person God's called me to be. He goes on later and starts to really kind of equate this obeying equals walking, this walking equals obeying. As you are living your life in obedience to what God has shown us to do and how to love one another, he's not wanting you just to be a good person. He's not wanting you just to be like morally acceptable or something like that. He's not into moralism in any way. He's not into legalism, okay? He wants you to learn to do the right things, but with the love of God being the foundation. I've met people that all know the right stuff, that can quote Bible stuff and are just seem to be the nastiest people I've ever met. They're just miserable people. And I'm going, oh, what happened there? They forgot their first love. You heard earlier Steve talk about this quote that Dana Allen, the head of our denomination, said at our national gathering, that we need to stop playing church and be the church. And I remember I heard that, he heard that, and we talked, and that hit him hard, and I was like, yeah, I mean, I wrote down, highlight and underline, circle, and like, oh my goodness, yeah, we are good at playing it. And that, God isn't tricked on that. He's like, oh my goodness, no, he knows, and he's like, listen, it's not about just knowing it, it's about being it. And if anything, let this try to land with you here, that God is for us. He's in us, and he wants to work through us. The incarnate love of God, that this God that became one of us, this Jesus who put skin on, who was a real person in a real time, in a real place, and who taught and ministered, but died a real death, and getting rose from the dead, he wants to work into us in fresh ways, fresh incarnations of that love in the community, in the church, in you and I. And again, every person that meets us should know that God is for them, that he wants to live and be in relationship with them, in them, and through them. But God, in order to work in others on a continual basis in your life, he's got to do the deep work in you first. He's got to do the deep work in me first. And so let us lean in. Let us not be afraid. Let us not pull back. Let us lean in and say, Lord, help me to be the person you want me to be. Help me to know you. Help me to know how to live and love others. You can do it. All it takes is you just surrendering, just saying, Lord, here I am. I put up this image of this anvil. One, because I found over and over again through conversations in between Sundays of how this image seems to just resonate with people. But it's so true. No one wants to be on the anvil. Well, no one wants to be heated and then hammered on the anvil, okay? I found that there's one person like, no, I could lay on that anvil. I'm good with that. I'm like, okay. So what I mean by is that God wants to shape us. He wants to change us. We need a transformation. And he uses things in our lives, relationships in our lives, situations, past experiences, current feelings and emotions, all of that in God's truth in Jesus to change us, to shape us, to stretch us so we're ready for what he has for us. But to do that, we have to remember we can't be on our own. We have to make sure we're in a community that will support us and pray for us and encourage us. You can't get separated. Don't get separated. Whenever I would go hiking and stuff with in scouts or with the youth group and stuff or hiking the Appalachian Trail, one of the greatest things they teach when it comes to hiking is to not get separated, to not go off the trail. What do you do if you get off the trail? How do you find your, there's wilderness survival 101, right? I mean, it's just a crucial aspect. But we do that in our own lives a lot of times. Sometimes we do it unintentionally. We don't even realize it. Maybe we move to a new area and we're like, well, I'll find a nice church when I can, or I'll try to figure it out when I can get my, when things settle down. But a lot of times we don't. One of the challenges when I would work with students in student ministry was I said, listen, when you graduate from high school, don't graduate from your faith. That when you go to college, that guess what? You need a church family to support you in that time that you're away. And it's not going to be the same church like we have here. And that's okay. It needs to support you. It needs to help you flourish. It needs to pour into you for sure. But it's going to be different. And that is okay. But don't get separated. You need it. We need it. The way God designed the church, he teaches us over and over again that you need one another to in order to love one another. So I want to encourage you, please, 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 continue to try to, again, deepen your relationship with the church and know that if you're feeling that maybe you are a little separated, it's going to affect the love that the community can express to others as well, because we all are interconnected in that, all right? We always give homework, and I hope that doesn't push you away or anything like that, but we think it helps. We think it helps when you read and are digging into to God's Word, if what we're going to talk about the next week. We're going to ask you to read 3 John, basically it's another one page, one chapter kind of letter. It's a short letter again, but I think it'll have some value for us, and I think you'll be surprised again how, again, relevant it is to us. So now, receive the benediction. You go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God is sending you. Wherever you are, God has put you there. He has a purpose in your being there. Christ who indwells you has something he wants to do through you, where you are. Believe this and go in his grace, go in his love, and go in his power. Amen. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.